Freestyle Travel. Hey, everybody. This is the Freestyle Travel Show. I'm your host, Kenny Flannery. Hey, y'all. It's been a minute. Left y'all hanging there for a second. My bad. It's all good. We're here together now. I'm in Vermont, central Vermont. Last episode, I was in California. And I'm drinking a beer. Can you imagine? It's my new favorite Vermont brewer, y'all. Foam Brewers out of Burlington. I'm drinking this goofy sour IPA. What do they call this thing? Constellations. It tastes like some sort of like nostalgic candy I can't quite put my finger on. Like one of those goofy ones, like the little bullets on the paper. You know those roll-up paper they used to make? Like stock things. And there's little buttons of candy. I don't know. It's got a weird flavor. The best beer they brewed was definitely this stout called like Out of Body or something like that. So goddamn good. All the beers they made are good. It's excellent. But anyways, yep, I'm here. I'm in Vermont. Random, right? Maybe. That's okay. I'm going to catch you up on most of my travels after I talk to Matt. So I'm with Matt Stove right now, the featured guest on this episode. He is going to tell us about all of his travels. He started hitchhiking around the same time I did, actually. It was either 2007, 2008. He'll say it right away. And he was basically on the road solid until 2015. Hitchhiking. Went all over the world. Europe, US, Alaska, South America, Australia, Asia, all over the place. Did a little van thing for a while. All sorts of stuff. Just he's got all kinds of awesome stories. Getting denied at borders and meeting cool people. All sorts of stuff. Super interesting. We knew each other peripherally kind of for years, sort of like online, like mutual friends. We'd sort of cross paths with the same people. We knew each other through like online hitchhiking communities like HitchWiki and even on Couchsurfing and stuff. And we finally actually met in New York City a few years back. It was 2015, 2016 or something like that. Met in person. And, yeah, now I'm here staying at his place in Vermont, and I'll dig into this more, but basically, man, it's been crazy since the last time I talked to you guys. I was in California. I did the biggest Vegas run of my life. Holy crap, it was basically a solid month in Vegas, peripheral Vegas casino stuff, just insanity. I'll tell that whole story afterwards, but I wound up with family and Christmas, and just there's a screenplay I've had rolling around back of my head. I'm not sure how much I'm going to talk about it. I got to mention it a little bit because I'm bringing it up. But I was getting in the zone around Christmas, and I posted somewhere on Facebook or something, I think on the Hobo Lifestyle, Hobo Lifestyle Facebook page probably. Just looking for like a cabin, a house sitting gig, something where I could like pop down for a few weeks and get some writing done. And Matt was one of the people who responded, and I was like, yeah, that sounds pretty good. So that's what I've been doing, is I've been here, and like I said, I'll get into the whole story of what happened between the last podcast and now, but yeah, I was stoked to catch up with him, been stoked catching up with him, been hitting a bunch of breweries and stuff too, in between my writing and whatnot. But it was cool to sit down with him and hear his whole like origin story, basically, how his travels got started and all his hitchhiking and adventures and all that. And so that's kind of the first part of our conversation, is him getting into what set him off and, you know, a bunch of his stories, and then what he's been up to now, which is like in a position to give back to travelers in like a really fucking cool way. So a lot of you guys listening might and should get in touch with him and give some information on how to do that. He's on all the sites, Trust Roots and Couchers, and that might be my next podcast episode. Couchers, spoiler alert, Workaway, Woofing, HelpX, basically. Yeah, he's just in a position where he's got some property and a lot of toys and stuff, and he knows how travelers work, so he's in a position to, help some people out or just have a good time. So, like I said, we'll talk about it more, but keep on listening, and there'll be sliceofheaven.us is his website. That's how you can contact him if you're interested. And I suggest you do, whether you come, you're in Vermont and come and drop in for a night or two and just sort of like traditional couch surf, hang out, just meet them, or dig into a project. Yeah. He's got all the things here. I'm in a room right now with like all the toys. There's remnants of some homebrew stuff going on. He's got 3D printers, there's circuit boards laying around, there's a bunch of drills. I'm just naming things I'm looking at, like tool chests. There's a garden next to me, like bunch of property. Just awesome. Vermont's the shit. We'll talk about all of it, but yeah, keep listening. And I think if you're in Vermont, refer back to this podcast and get in touch with them. Yeah. So without a further ado, I will introduce Matt, and then afterwards I will catch up on all the wild shenanigans I've gotten into in the last couple months, and yeah, how I got here to Vermont. It's been a little insane, but happy days are here to stay, and a lot of good stuff coming up. As always, I'll be here another week. And then on to the next thing. Happy days. All right, so yeah, let's introduce you to Matt. All right, welcome to the show.
It's a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for having me.
Certainly. It's always fun to have you.
Yeah. So I figured we'd start from what got you on the road, if you want to do that. Tell your whole travel story, basically, and then launch into what you're doing now, kind of.
My whole story.
The entire thing. Because I don't think you've told me the exact, like, spark got you on the road.
Well, it was about 50 miles from here.
Oh, shit.
It was December 15th, 2007. I was working for Qimonda, designing microchips, memory chips. And they announced that they were closing the Vermont site. And I had just, after graduating RIT earlier that summer, I had backpacked around Europe with a Ural Pass, and I had met someone hitchhiking. And so that's where the first kind of spark that the... And I had caught a lift on the canal when my bike broke down. Random story.
Like on a barge or something?
Yeah, on the Erie Canal, on a houseboat.
Oh, shit. this is before the summer in Europe?
Yes.
Okay.
That was right when I was graduating college. But hitchhiking had kind of been on my mind. And so when it was announced that I wasn't going to have a job in 5 months, 4 months into my post-college career, I was like, well, fuck it. I might as well go travel. You know, I had planned to spend 5 or 6 years working, make some money, establish myself, and then go travel.
Yeah.
So I did exactly that. And I read as much as I could, and I saved money, and I had no idea what I was doing.
The person you met in Europe, like, you didn't hitchhike with them. They just kind of offhand mentioned that they were hitchhiking, or just kind of put it on your radar?
The person that I met, where was I? Prague. I met this young American woman who had been robbed in Spain. And she was like, well, I got nothing left. And I got nothing to lose, so I might as well just hitchhike.
All right.
And she'd hitchhike from there to the Czech Republic, and she was at the train station, kind of wandering around making friends because, you know, she had a place to crash.
Yeah.
And in my mind, it was kind of like, well, I can live in the wilderness, and I'm real comfortable living out of a backpack, just having grown up in New England, going out backpacking a lot. If this young woman with nothing can go out and do this, like, how hard could it be?
Yeah.
Now, to be fair, that's an approach I take to most things in life, for better or for worse. Got me in a bit of trouble here and there. But, yeah, I started hitchhiking, and I ended up at the 888. I had no concept of organized hitchhiking or the hitchhiking community or anything like that.
Yeah.
Until the 888 Hitch Gathering, which I ended up at...
August 8th, 2008?
Yes, August 8th, 2008, the Hitch Gathering in Paris. I ended up there almost by accident. I was supposed to be in the UK, but the Brits had denied me entry.
They denied you?
Yes.
Wait, so just rewinding a little bit, you decide to travel, you're in Vermont.
Did you go straight to Europe? Did you like...
I had a car. I had a cat. I dropped them off with my parents down in Connecticut, who had just moved to where they live now. And I had a one-way flight to Ireland. And I had been speaking to some people online because couch surfing was popular then. This is 2008.
Yeah. Had you couch surfed or hosted or anything?
I had hosted some people. Okay. I had surfed with some people up in Montreal and Quebec City.
Yeah.
And I had and I gave some lists to some people as well. From Montreal to Quebec and then from Burlington down to New York. So I had a couple of references. And then there were four people, my original four travel companions for Ireland. We rented a car and just drove around for a week. It was a very frustrating experience. None of us got along.
Did all four of you make it to Ireland or just...
Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't.
Yeah, for sure. Especially four people. That's a tall
order. I managed to hitch. You know, hitchhiking in Ireland is kind of ridiculous. You walk out to the road and people just pull over and offer you rides.
Yeah, you can hitchhike south to north in a day, too.
Yeah. So I went up to Belfast to catch a flight, flew to Paris. A lot of my travels circle through Paris because I have an ex-girlfriend there and a couple of friends there. And I read on HitchWiki directions for going east. I set out and went out to the A4.
What happened about getting denied in the UK?
So like 2 or 3 months later, I come back and I'm trying to get up to Scotland.
Later. I thought initially this happened.
So I initially just went out and hitchhiked around Europe. Didn't know anything about the community. Didn't know there were other hitchhikers. Had no real, to me, hitchhiking was still this strange thing that I didn't mind that it was weird as hell and everyone gave me strange looks.
Yeah.
I had never met anyone else ever hitchhiking.
Yeah. So I thought the denial came sooner. You can tell me about that when it happens. So you fly from Belfast to Paris.
Yes, and this is like...
And are you alone at this point, or are you still with your crew?
Yeah, I'm alone.
Oh, so all right. That had
That was only ever supposed to be like a week-long thing.
Okay. So you get to Paris, and you're like, Hitchwiki, with a friend. Find a spot.
Hitchwiki, find the exit, and it's like, all right, now I'm going to go... Well, I'm going on an adventure.
Yeah. Did you go... Pure thumb, or did you make a big sign, or did you have an immediate destination in mind, or was it just like...
Yeah, I actually, and being an idiot, young and naive, I assigned this at Germany.
Okay, I mean, whatever.
I might as well have had a sign that said America, given where I was on the outskirts of Paris, hitching on the ramp.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did make progress. I made it to Strasbourg that day. So I, moved.
That's a win.
But, all sorts of stupidity. I don't end up going. I went down to the Balkans for a bit and I was bouncing around the islands of Croatia and then to Bosnia and Serbia up into Romania. Met these Aussies who were living in Scotland when I was in Romania. And that's what inspired me to try to get to the UK. So this is like late July 2008.
So how long have you been in Europe at this point? A month?
2 months.
2 months?
2.5 months.
Were you doing a blend of couch surfing? Did you have like a tent as well?
Yeah, I have a Hennessy hammock. I've always rocked a Hennessy hammock.
Okay.
Except for my trip in Australia. Everywhere else I've ever traveled, I've rocked that hammock and that.
Yeah.
It's perfect for me.
So are you couch surfing between two, kind of setting stuff up, or are you just
couch surfing, mostly couch surfing, a bunch of emergency requests, and then trying to connect with people up ahead, but hitchhiking, it's tough. And then occasional hostels, but I grew to really dislike hostels.
I'm kind of there with you.
For a variety of reasons.
Yeah.
A week before 888, I hitched, caught a lift with an Indian, a British gentleman of Indian descent, who was headed to London from the port of Calais. And they stopped me at border control, and they pulled me out, and they were like, no, you're not going.
They give you a reason?
Yeah, I mean, I have the paper somewhere. They said I did not demonstrate significant enough ties to prove that I wouldn't be staying there permanently.
What?
You know, because I don't have enough friends or connections. Oops.
They pulled that garbage in Canada with me one time.
Yep. Yeah, but I've got it in Canada too. You know, basically means we think you're poor and homeless and fuck off.
Yeah.
The funny thing for me is I came back 2 weeks later with a whole bunch of paperwork.
Okay.
And they were like, oh, Mr. Lipschutz, we're so sorry. And they let me in.
Damn.
And the whole, that whole situation, I got this long story about it, but during the interrogation when they're in the room, we sat in the wrong chairs.
Sat in the wrong chairs?
Yeah, I don't know if you've ever been in you've been a police interrogation room.
Yeah.
At least in the Western world, the chairs are bolted down so you can't pick them up and hit someone with them. Well, the chair that I sat in was not bolted down.
Oh.
The chair that he sat in was. He was on the wrong side of the table. Like, okay. So I think it was like his first time ever or something. I don't know. It was weird.
Yeah, you're like, how long have you been working here, sir?
but yeah, I just picked up on that. At 888 was the first time I'd ever met organized hitchhikers.
And did you just come across it because you were using the HitchWiki site to find spots? And they must have been posted all over HitchWiki.
I'd been rejected, so I went back to Paris to stay with my ex-girlfriend.
Yeah.
And I saw it on Couchsurfing on like the local. All
right.
Then I was like, what the heck? I might as well go.
Yeah.
And I ended up going and meeting a ton of awesome people. And some of them are friends to this day.
How many people are there? I don't know how many people listen to them about the Hitch Gatherings. But
probably 120, yeah. 150. I don't know.
Sounds about right. In North America, it's usually about like one or maybe. I think the biggest one's been like 20. But Europe seems to be consistently 100 plus.
Yeah, I mean, we started with a bang.
So at that point, you're just like, holy shit, I just traveled all over Europe. You got as far as Romania, it sounds like.
Yeah, I got as far down as Romania and then back to Paris. And
see, like, not only does this work, but there's a whole community of other people out there.
And, you know, at that gathering, it was like I kept getting inspired by different people and this and that.
Yeah.
At the gathering, the main speaker was a French gentleman by the name of Ludovic Hubler.
Yeah.
And his story of travel, spending 5 years roaming the globe, I took to mean, all right, so not only does this work here, but it works everywhere if you have the patience and the time. And
so at that point, your visa must have been running out.
Yeah, well, so after the 888, I actually did make it into the UK.
Oh, right.
Said documentation. I'm upstanding citizen that I am and whatnot.
Yeah, I can provide paperwork.
I spent a while in the UK. I actually flew out for a bit to Egypt in an attempt to see an old friend, learn to scuba dive, this and that. Made it back.
Is that in like the Hob, like we were talking about?
Yes.
There? Nice. Blue Hole and all that.
And spent a good long time up in the Scottish Highlands in the mountains, Fort William. Hung out at that hostel up there for almost a month, month and a half.
Fort William, is that where Ben Nevis is?
Yes.
Okay. I got to the top of that thing.
Yes. Climbed the big mountain a few times.
Yeah.
I ended up back in the States for Thanksgiving.
What was your situation back home? Did you like cut ties altogether as far as like, did you still have an apartment you were maintaining? Did you have other stuff and
storage? I didn't have it back home. And that's part of what made this really easy.
Yeah.
Because after college, I moved to Burlington. So I was renting a room.
Yeah.
So after that job disappeared, I, you know, folded my stuff up into the back of a car and left in my parents' garage.
Oh, cool. So you have nothing.
Yeah.
Basically.
I haven't had a stable place from the end of 2008 till the place you stayed at. in 2015 at that apartment, basement apartment in Brooklyn. That was my first apartment since the first place after college.
Yeah. So it's pretty much 7 years solid just
bouncing around.
Going.
You know, there was a couple of months I stayed in my parents' place for a little while.
Yeah.
I stayed in a tent in Alaska for a summer.
Yeah. What were you doing there?
Besides? Working at a liquor store.
Okay.
Catch 20. This was 2011. 2012. Had to be 2012 because 2011 I was in Europe. Yeah, 2012. I just had needed to go somewhere.
Yeah.
Didn't know where to go. And a friend suggested this little town in Alaska called Haines.
And you hitchhiked up through Canada to get there? Or did you fly?
No, I actually took the ferry because...
Like Seattle or something? Or?
Yeah, from Bellingham, from northern Seattle.
Okay.
As you mentioned, as I have also experienced, in 2009, I tried hitchhiking to Alaska. Ironically... as I have written in my notes, the same exact town. I got picked up in a little pickup truck by two women who were also going to Haines, Alaska.
Oh, damn.
But the Canadian border guards wouldn't let me in.
Oh, shit.
That's a whole separate story. That's how I ended up going to a rainbow gathering.
Yeah. I successfully, while you were at that hitch gathering, 888, mm-hmm. I was in Alaska. I'm almost certain. Or I was on my way.
Nice.
That's the summer I went. And I got stopped at the border, but it was... It's a funny story, but I got through it. They let me cross. And also, they gave me a hard time at the border getting into Alaska after I'd gotten through all of Canada. They, like, searched through all my stuff, but they still let me through. It was a pain in the ass, so.
Yeah, no, they straight up denied me.
Yeah.
I've gotten used to that. I've gotten denied from a number of British and former British countries.
How long is the ferry from Bellingham?
3 days.
3 days? Are you just, like, camping out on deck? Is that kind of the
Well, again,
vibe?
I have my hammock.
Oh, nice.
So, yeah. Like the best, and there's a reason that sailors use hammocks.
Yeah.
Because when it gets a little rough, you're just rocking back and forth in your little hammock.
That's true.
And they're $18 pints of Alaskan ale.
$18?
I'm not sorry, $18 pitchers.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, not pints.
I was like, that sucks.
yeah, no, $18 pitchers.
Okay. Were you solo on that ferry ride, or?
Yes, but as not anyone solo yeah. anywhere, you know, there are a dozen other people just the same.
Yeah.
Met some good friends, you know, some nice people. Didn't stay in contact with anyone, as I really never do. I'm terrible about that.
Yeah.
And then the kicker being, Haines is like the outdoor capital of Alaska. It's beautiful. From there, you can get up to the glaciers. You can get all over. Within like 3 weeks of my being there, I was out partying with some friends that I had made.
Yeah.
I ran to catch a frisbee. No. I took one fall early in the evening. I ran to catch a frisbee and didn't notice the like 4 foot drop off and just and injured myself slightly.
Okay.
Therefore I decided to get mildly inebriated to, you know, numb the pain.
Fair.
At some point that evening, I don't remember this, I just know it happened. I severely hyperextended my right leg.
So this wasn't the fall. This was a drunken injury later?
Yes, this was what I think happened. I have a vague, very vague memory of climbing over big fallen trees to get home. And you have to understand, like, this is Alaskan old growth forest or whatnot. It's like the trees are, you know, like the size of the sofa, and you're climbing over them. Things are wet and mossy, drunk, cold.
You were just like way back in the fucking wilderness, no trail. Like
we went down to the beach because we were jumping in the water because it was nice and warm when the sun was up, and the sun was up until like 11 o'clock at night because it's Alaska,
right?
In the summer. But for the rest of the summer, I couldn't really extend my right leg very well, I couldn't hike except until the very end of the summer. For like the next 2 months, I was basically restricted to town.
Damn,
so and I lived in paradise.
Is that when you got the liquor store job, or is that just...
I had the liquor store job. That's what I was doing there.
Did you know anyone ahead of time? Did someone set you up at that gig, or did you go in totally blind and just get off the ferry?
I knew someone in town, but they didn't help me do okay. anything one way or the other. I just kind of asked around. The person I knew in town, I actually met in Scotland, ironically.
Did you stay with them like the first night or two you
nope.
got there, or just started camping right away?
I just started camping right away. You know what? I camped the way that I camp when I'm traveling. So I just went and illicitly popped up somewhere.
Close to town.
It was made clear to me that there's very inexpensive camping in town, and I wanted to respect the rules and the locals and whatnot. Didn't want to hassle, because it's like, it's a small insular community. If you're known to be a jackass,
if you get one shot at a good
reputation. So I ended up camping in town, like right in the center of town. There's a campground, which was pretty cool. A lot of interesting bear encounters there.
Really?
I've gotten closer to a bear than I ever want to.
Like, you got closer, or they came up to your hammock and close to you?
Like, I was in my hammock, and it went underneath me.
Oh, shit.
But it went underneath me, like, my hammock was low enough that by walking underneath me, it lifted me up.
God damn. Were you already asleep, or did you hear it coming?
No, I was wide awake.
Like, stay. Didn't you know he was coming? You must
have. Yeah, but like, what am I going to do? I mean,
I know. I would just stay still.
I felt like a human burrito, and it was just like, whatever happens next is totally up to the bear, because, like, I'm literally in a net, suspended.
Yeah. So you kind of rode a bear for like 2.5 seconds.
kind of. I mean, it was like, there's a scene from 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea, I think.
Yeah.
Where there's a sea creature, and you just get a glimpse of it, and all you see is scales.
Yeah.
And it was kind of like that, but with fur. Like, all I saw was just brown fur moving away from me. And saw it like picking up against the nylon.
Fuck.
And you know, I'm sitting there with my headlamp, and I turned it on. I just turned it off because it was like, what the hell? Seeing will have no bearing on what happens. And I just kind of hung out in the hammock for a minute, and it was like, I'm gonna assume that bear is just gonna keep on walking, because
hopefully.
If he doesn't, there's nothing I can do about it. And it did, and it went over to one of my other friends in that camp, well, not a friend, someone else in that camp at ground, who had not cleaned up their campsite, and it tore their stuff to shit. as a bear does.
God damn.
There was another time, there was a bear running up the street. So you have to understand, the town, there's a peninsula.
Yeah.
And at the tip of the peninsula, for some reason, is the town dump.
Oh.
So the bears make this run down, I think it's called like Hill Street, from the mountains in the outskirts of town to get to the town dump.
They do this like every night, or
every so often.
Yeah.
So like, you know, hanging out making dinner. It's like 8, 9 o'clock. The sun's still up blazing, and we think it sounds like a dog. And I was like,
shit.
I'm like, man, where the hell is that? And we look, and there's this like 800-pound grizzly bear running full tilt up the street. It's like 30 feet away.
Shit.
And it's got to be going 25 miles an hour.
That is fucking terrifying. It's
just like, you just, woof, woof, and it was gone. And I was like, man.
Heading towards that trash treasure pile.
Yeah, going towards the dump. And I was like, man, I hope no one gets in the way up at the dump. Like,
God,
that is a hungry bear. But the people in town were just like, yep, that happens.
Damn. How long were you there all together? A couple months? A few months? Like the summer?
Yeah, like the summer, like 3 months. Yeah. I hitched home. I was going to my buddy's wedding.
So you did hitch through Canada on the way out?
Yes. Because I figured, like, they can't deny me because I'm coming from the middle of nowhere.
That border, I don't know if you probably went through the same border I did. They searched my whole bag, but the place was, like, much smaller than the house we're in now. It was a shack.
So I got to live with two local native women.
Okay.
So they didn't search shit. They didn't they didn't even run their passports. They knew them.
Yeah.
They ran my passport, and they were like, "Where are you going?" I was like, "I'm hitchhiking. I'm going to my buddy's wedding in Arizona." Like,
yeah.
I have 3 weeks to get there. I think I'm pretty confident I'm going to make it. But
I crossed that border 2 times, but the first time going into Alaska, it was me and this dude who picked me up hitchhiking, my age, and like 5 miles before we got there, I like floated the idea. I was like, are you cool with like acting like we know each other and like we're just friends or whatever in case they ask? And he's like, I'm not super comfortable with that. I'm like, all right, that's fine. And sure enough, we got there, and he's just like, yeah, I picked this guy up hitchhiking. And they're like, a hitchhiker, huh? They're like, we're going to have to search his bag. And then they told him, they're like, if we find anything in this guy's bag, he can say it's yours
because
you're the driver, or you can get in trouble for it. So they're like, we'll let you go right now, or you can stick around. He's like, I'm going to leave. So I lost my ride.
Yep, they do that.
Then they spent like 20 minutes searching through my bag. And they're like gear nerds. They're like, oh, sweet sleeping bag. Oh, I have this water filter. I'm like, you got fucking like just like bored. You know, they just want someone to talk to and hang out with.
Yeah.
But I lost my ride because of it. But yeah, coming back, I was with an Australian girl I was hitchhiking with and two either Swedish or Swiss people in an RV. And it was so much smoother just because it was like, Swiss, Australian. So I was like the legitimate person, like the American in the situation.
When I re-entered the U.S. that time coming down, I entered north of Spokane. And I remember because I had an illegal avocado.
You had an illegal avocado? Did you bring it all the way from Alaska?
No, I picked it up somewhere in British Columbia. Like I just,
you know, did you screw around in Canada at all? Or is it all just like hitch, camp, hitch,
go? I had some fun, but I tried moving on a relatively straight line.
Okay.
Because I was trying to make it to this wedding.
Okay. So you were like 3 days or a week and a half.
It took me 5 days in total.
Yeah.
And then took me like 2 weeks to get from there to
no shit.
Well, I went straight down the I-5. Not the I-5. I went down the coast highway.
Oh, you cut over and down and then to Arizona?
Yeah, I went down through Portland and kicked the fence of Portland, Eugene, for a minute. And
I gotcha. So what's up with this avocado?
Apparently it's one of the restricted items you're not allowed to bring into the United States.
Oh, so they just trash it? Or?
And I was like, can I just eat it right now? They were like, no. And I was like, really? No, I have a pocket knife. Like, you didn't see it. I'll just turn around and like, rah! I'll just give you the pit. And they were like, no, that you'll be guilty of destroying evidence. And it was like, are you
destroying evidence?
And you have to understand, like, I hiked out to this border crossing. There's a road. Like, I'm walking down the road, but it is the middle of nowhere. I haven't seen a car in 2 hours.
Yeah.
And it's like,
I've been carrying this avocado.
can I? And I knew better than to ask, like, can I just leave the border station and come back? Because then you've been denied, and then it's a whole other thing. It's like, fine, take the avocado. What's gonna, like, are you at least gonna use it? And like, honestly, we're gonna destroy it.
Like, destroy it?
Like, yeah, we're gonna incinerate it. And it's like, what?
Like, damn.
You're not even just gonna throw it in the compost or the garbage? Like, you gotta, no, it's contraband. It's like,
I had that with peanut butter at some airport, a jar of peanut butter, which they consider liquid, and it's more than 100 milliliters or 3 ounces.
What?
But I did the same thing, but I got a different answer. I was like, can I just, like, I had bread, too. I was like, this is my meal. I was like, can I make a sandwich real quick? And they're like, fine. I took the entire jar of peanut butter and put it between two slices of bread, and they're like, you're good to go. I'm like, I wanted to be like, why? But no, just
double standards. This is why the rule, like this, knowing the specific rules can be so important. A great example.
And it's just the luck of the draw. It's like who you get, what mode, what they see.
Well, yes and no. A great example of this is the after the 789 hitch gathering in Odessa.
Yeah.
A bunch of us, you know, hitched back to Western Europe. We went through the Shop border crossing between Ukraine and Hungary. And the rules were, you weren't allowed to walk across the border. You had to be on wheels.
Oh, yeah. I've heard these stories.
But they didn't say it had to be motorized wheels.
Okay.
So there was a kid renting out his skateboard.
Oh, because he already knew the deal?
For 10 euros. You were allowed to, he would roll you the skateboard or toss it over the fence. And you could skateboard across into Hungary.
That's absurd.
And the like within full view of the border guards. The border guards are just like, the rules say you must, you know, no pedestrians allowed. You must be on wheels. And it's like, are you kidding me? Right. The rules are the rules.
Yeah.
So I always wondered, like, what if you had those little skate wheel shoe things? Like, right? Could you just
I had a pair of those when I was a kid. Those were badass. I've dreamt about those like a modern version forever. Wheels that pop out of your shoes. I wonder if they'd just be like, yep, those are wheels. You're good. Someone should make a pair of travel shoes like that. Keens with pop-out wheels. The problem is the soles are like over an inch thick. And the wheels suck. It's only good on like gymnasium floors or like tile floors. If you try to go on concrete, you're just like, your whole life is shaking.
Flashing before your eyes. Yeah. I bet they could probably make them better nowadays with some better understandings about structures and additive manufacturing. But maybe another startup idea for me in the distant future.
Yeah.
Idea 984.
Swiss Army shoes, man.
So, yeah, I bounced around for a while. And then in 2014, I ran into someone at my little brother's wedding who convinced me to rock a startup. And that's what brought me back to the engineering startup world.
Okay.
And then I did that for the next 3 or 4 years.
Damn. So when I saw you, that was 2015 or 16?
Yep, 2015 or it was either 15 or early 16. I'm not sure the month. But I know I moved to Montreal in May or June of 2016.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not sure exactly when I saw you, but you were deep in it. That's for sure.
Yeah, startup life was draining to me. I have white hair as a result.
Yeah.
On the upside, I have this house and my property, and like, you know, things are well. But it was not an experience that I really would wish most people upon.
Yeah, it sounded pretty crazy. But so most of your travels before that, was it mostly Europe? And did you get all over the United States as well?
Yes. I also bummed around Southeast Asia a bit. Yeah. Thailand, Malaysia, getting into Laos.
Yeah.
Australia.
Kind of all over the damn place.
And then I was having fun in South America in 2013 and 14.
In South America?
Yep.
How far south did you get?
I flew to Argentina because I have friends in Argentina, in Buenos Aires and Mar del Plata. And then I went all the way down to the tip, and I came back, and I went across.
That was all hitchhiking, too?
Yep. I narrowly missed the Antofagasta earthquake of 2014.
Oh, damn.
I was supposed to be there, and I wasn't, fortunately, for a funny reason.
When you say you got all the way down to the tip, did you get down to, like, the inch? Tip, like, the spot? Is there a little signpost down there or something?
Not so much a signpost, but Punta Arenas is the town, I think.
I was thinking it's like Tierra del Fuego or something.
Yeah, Tierra del Fuego is the name of the region.
Okay.
So you're in Argentina, and then you leave Argentina, you enter Chile, and then you leave Chile and you re-enter Argentina.
You deal with bullshit when you do that, or is it just invisible line?
No, there's legit border crossing. You sign waivers and visas. And
yeah, gotcha.
So the thing is, that little region down there, Ushuaia, is like an isolated Argentine outpost. But it's beautiful. That whole region is just the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
It's like the Yukon, northern Canada, like just wide open spaces.
What time of year were you there?
January, February, so it was their summer.
Summertime.
Did some climbing in the mountains and some hiking. I have a friend that I actually met down there. Who lives up here in Montreal. We managed to stay in touch now and again.
Yeah, that's on the list for sure. We want to get all the way down there.
I would love to go back, not so much for Tierra del Fuego, but for the southern half of Patagonia in Chile.
Yeah.
I would love to do some serious backpacking out that way. But also the backpacking in the other parts of the Andes in Peru was incredible. It was great to be able to get up to like 15, 16,000 feet, something like that.
Goddamn.
On top of the misty volcano. Day hiking.
Day hiking?
Yeah, it's a day hike.
Damn.
Like 6,000 meters.
Huh.
It's nutty.
So is that the last continent you were on before you came to that wedding where you...
That was the last big anything.
Yeah.
But since then, I mean, I went to my older brother's wedding in Brazil. So I got to spend 2 weeks in Brazil.
Okay, just in the last few years
or something? Yep, since 2014.
Okay.
I went traveling 2 years ago, right before the pandemic.
For a couple weeks or for another?
Yeah, for 3 weeks.
Okay.
I just went over to Europe to visit some friends.
Yeah.
I hitched around. It was a little different because I was on a time. I had an end date and it was near in the future.
Changes things.
Yeah, you know, that kind of hurried hitchhiking.
You probably had a round trip ticket already booked, that kind of thing.
It was also a bit later than I was used to. It was mid to late October, so a little bit cooler, a little darker.
Yeah. Yeah, it changes hitchhiking quite a bit. I don't think everybody picks up on that. It's like not only is winter colder, obviously, and also limits your options for camping, but also it's like it's fucking dark at like 5 o'clock.
Yeah, you don't have not a lot of light to work with.
Yeah, so you're not getting as far. And when you're stuck, it's like, depending on your gear, like you got to get creative.
Yeah, you've got to be pretty comfortable camping out.
Yeah. Or figure something out if you can't do it.
Or very creative, one way or the other.
What was your, it sounds like you had like one main gear setup, the hammock. What was your like lowest Fahrenheit comfortable temperature you could camp at? For me right now with what I got, I think it's about 30 degrees. I could survive at 20. That's survive. That's like not fun.
I usually have a 20 degree sleeping bag.
Okay.
And with that and a pad in the hammock, yeah, I was comfortable down to 20, maybe 15 degrees.
Okay.
I switch it up significantly if I know I'm going to be in colder temperatures than that. So I'll go to a bivvy because there's no point in hanging out above tree line or above the wind and the snow.
Did you carry a bivvy with you too, or did you just like pick one up?
I have a separate bivvy. It was usually my parents' place in a box in storage.
Okay.
So I've rotated through gear fairly regularly. I get pro deals through my association with the American Alpine, through my American Alpine Association membership. So that makes gear, you get a lot of gear half off.
You get it through them, or they give you a deal to use at like REIs and other existing places?
They give you access to a website, and the website is kind of like a clearinghouse.
I gotcha.
So with my AAC membership, I get access to this website, and this website says, well, we'll give you pro deals based on your AAC membership to these gear companies. And so for a time, the same website is used by REI.
Okay.
So for a time, for a time, I was both an AAC and REI member, and therefore I got at least 50% discount on almost every piece of gear made.
That's fucking awesome.
It was pretty cool. That was one of the reasons I loved working for REI.
Yeah.
And honestly, would consider it again here.
Huh. One thing I thought was kind of cool is kind of transition. And the next thing I want to talk to you about is like people who have your couch surfing and they've got that box or sometimes a whole closet of just like take it, leave it.
Mm-hmm.
Because I remember in New Zealand, somebody just, hitchhiking, people give you stuff all the time. A lot of times they give you stuff it's totally unnecessary. But someone in New Zealand gave me one of those pocket stoves. And it was awesome. The whole time I was there, it's just like, oh, cool. Like I wouldn't normally carry this, and then I just left it behind. I was just thinking it would be the same thing with like a sleeping bag or something like that. Like if you were flying from somewhere or going somewhere, you're like, oh, I don't need this like warm ass sleeping bag. If you stay with somebody who's couch surfing host place, you could like swap it for a different one.
Absolutely. And that's something that I've done with a lot of the travelers, both that have passed through places that I've stayed And when I was in the U.S. and living out of a van, I traded out my gear quite frequently.
How long are you in a van for? That was just in the U.S. or?
Just in the U.S.
Yeah.
Most of 2013. Okay. No. Most of 2010.
Okay.
Yes, most of 2010.
Was it a proper camper van or?
Oh, no. It was the white windowless van. As sketchy as could be.
Yeah. Uninspected. Fast kids van.
Yeah, the kind of van you tell your kids to stay away from.
Yeah. Was that just you, or do you have like a girlfriend or a travel partner?
Just me.
You did that for a year?
Yeah, I had the van for a few years, but I would leave it either with my folks or with a friend. It was always a romantic idea, but it never really materialized in any meaningful way.
Well, I mean, you rode it for a year, you said. It must have been something.
Yeah, just to experience it, just, you know, understand that coming from a hammock, like, just having the van to camp out in the back, like, pad on the floor is still luxurious.
Yeah.
And my first experience with that van was out in Montana at minus 18 degrees.
Oh, damn.
So that was rough. Yeah. I've had a couple of very, very cold nights in the van and camping.
Yeah.
Which, yeah. One of the reasons I'm somewhat more averse to the cold than I used to be.
Yeah. I've thought about the van thing, of course, like hundreds of times, but I can never talk myself into it. It's just, it's just all the responsibility and stuff that comes with it. Like, you need to all of a sudden come up with money versus a hitchhiker that you weren't coming up for gas, insurance, shit breaks down.
Once you have something like that, you have something to lose. You have things to worry about.
Yeah, and that aspect too. You got something to worry about, and also stuff pops up and you can't do it. What if you just like meet someone and they're just like, you know, going overseas or something. You're like, I got to park this fucking van somewhere now. Like,
exactly.
Or you meet someone at a party and they're like, we're going over here. And like in the back of your mind, you're like, how far am I getting from my van? Like, they're going an hour to Burlington or something. You're like, I'm going to have to get back here to get the van versus like, you just grab your backpack. You got everything you need.
Oh, I mean, there are legal concerns. For example, in some states, if you own the vehicle and you're inside it and you're drunk, that's a DUI. Even if the engine's cold and you weren't driving anywhere.
Really?
So if you manage to get an Uber back from a brewery and you're a bit tipsy and a cop sees you stumbling into the van, you can potentially get a DUI.
That's bullshit.
It absolutely is. But, you know, from a certain legal perspective, you were in your vehicle, you had the keys to your vehicle, you were drunk as a skunk, therefore you were a drunk driver.
What if you don't have the keys?
I mean, that might strengthen the case that you were drunk.
Maybe, but that's fine. I'll be drunk as hell if it doesn't matter.
I mean, I've heard all sorts of different things about if the keys are not in your possession versus if they're in your pocket versus if they're in the ignition. But
yeah, I mean, having a van in general, it grants you a lot of freedoms and stuff, obviously, but
it comes with a lot
of drawbacks. Are
yeah,
so far have been enough to keep me away from it, but I still throw the idea around in my head. I love whenever I get picked up by a van, I'm always curious like how they got their spice rack set up and where their mattress is and what they're doing for power and cooking. And like, it's just an exercise in efficiency for a lot of people. It's kind of cool. But, what's the most you've traveled with like somebody else? Have there been any extended like hitchhiking trips with a travel partner, girlfriend, a buddy, anything like?
Even not many. Couple of 3 or 4 day here and there.
Yeah.
I've done a couple of big long distance trips with friends, but there were still only 2 or 3 days, you know.
Oh, okay.
1,000 kilometers a day.
Yeah.
Stuff like that.
Crazy miles.
Yeah. I generally wander. I don't find too many people going the same way for very long.
Yeah. I've had a few stints with people, but inevitably it is just like, there's a lot of pluses to traveling with someone else, but I like the solo travel quite a bit. It's just like, you don't, It's a lot less conversations, even the stupid stuff, like where you're going to eat, which would never be a conversation. You just like think or whatever, where you're going to go. Just like it happens. All of a sudden you're having these like conversations, even debates, like where to next? Where are we going to eat? Where are we going to sleep? It's like, I don't know.
Yeah, the freedom and independence that you can have as a solo traveler, a solo hitchhiker,
yeah,
who's self-contained, it's a hard thing to give up.
Yeah.
And I know from experience, having now, you know, lived back in I guess the real world, the established need for things. I miss the carefree nature of living out of a pack.
Yeah.
And it's weird, as you have been privy to recently here, I'm actually trying to obtain more responsibility, which I know is counter to what I ultimately would like, but I think I can get to a point where I have enough responsibility that I can regain some of that freedom, or at least I can reach a level of consistency that I can be free to roam a bit.
Yeah. So just catch people up that are listening. Like mm-hmm. you did the startup thing, 2014-15, that kicked yep. off. And you were in New York for a little bit, then Montreal for a little bit. How long were you in Montreal for?
For 2 years.
2 years?
And then while I was up there, because I was making good money with the startup, I had a friend that I had always talked about buying a house and starting a little project with.
Yeah.
I bought the house, and that's the house that we're sitting in right now.
Ah, yes.
that friendship didn't work out. That friend didn't end up staying.
Yeah.
There's some funny stories there.
But, so did you guys buy the house together, and then you sort of bought them out?
No. It was I'm a little crazy that way.
Yeah.
I just like, yeah, I want a house. You need a place to live. Well, I'll buy the house and you'll live there and I'll just pop in from time to time.
Yeah.
That seems reasonable to me. You're a retired traveler. You don't want to go anywhere. You cook and clean and otherwise just, you know, do your own thing.
Yeah.
Seems like a perfect arrangement. Didn't quite work out that way. Hmm.
So at least I made it clean when you guys had to, or they had to leave or whatever. If you had both owned the house or something, I feel like
it yeah, there was no, there were no entanglements that way. It was very much yeah. like, no, it is my house. This behavior. This is what's going on. This is not acceptable.
Yeah. How long have you owned it now?
Since 2018, I believe.
Okay.
Maybe 2017.
Yeah.
2017. So, going on 4 years.
Yeah. And you've pretty much been here since then.
Yep.
As far as like trips. When was the Brazil thing? The wedding?
Oh, that was before 2015 or so.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yep. I took that one trip in 2019 for like 3 weeks.
Right.
I had a really funny experience actually right after that.
Yeah.
So my startup sold. And so I had was flush with cash.
Yeah.
And a friend had posted something on Facebook about a trip he was going on, some influencer, social entrepreneur, this and that.
Yeah.
And it was in Madagascar.
Oh.
And I said, that sounds cool. I want to go there.
Yeah.
And it was ludicrously expensive, you know, flight and all this and that.
Yeah.
But I just got all this cash. So I was like, all right, what the hell? And I went.
Oh, shit.
And it was a really interesting experience. I had a lot of fun. I met some really cool people. People who still resonate in my life today. But yeah, that was the last
big trip.
Big trip.
Hmm. Well, now you're here and we've been talking about like, I don't know, bringing travelers in or that mm-hmm. kind of thing, encouraging that kind of thing.
Yeah. As I've come to realize, over the past few days, I've reached a point where I'd like to return some of what I've received in my life and my travels. You know, I have this wonderful space and I'd like to open it up to the travelers and to folks like myself for the kind of space that I would have liked to have come upon and been invited to.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, that may be and I hope will be a multi-year, multi-pronged effort. You know, some things will work, some things won't. But it gives me the ability to be a traveler without moving, or to be part of that community,
yeah,
without necessarily moving.
Which is why
I think is what I need right now.
Couch surfing before they fucked everything up. But like that concept of hospitality exchange has been, I've met so many people who've only hosted and it's changed their life like incredibly, you know, just having, and they've said that exact sort of phrase, just like, it's like traveling without traveling, just having people come through.
And I used to, I feel bad about this, but I used to dislike that concept. I used to mock it.
Yeah.
But I've now come to a point of understanding, and it is very much not the same, but it is very much traveling of a different flavor.
Yeah. Well, really what it is it's new experiences and new perspectives, which is something you get from traveling,
mm-hmm.
and you also get it by meeting people who are from different places with different perspectives and different experiences to share. It's just a different way to get what you're really getting at, whether you're traveling or not.
Yeah,
I think it's a spice of life, something a little different. And you're in a unique position. You've just got all this like maker equipment and stuff. You got space. There's like just so much potential. You've got a lot of ideas, but you've also got like a big canvas where it seems like other people could come in and you know, sort of take a look at your vision and add to it.
Yeah, you know, I had this. This idea with my former friend to create a community, and we were both part of a specific travel community, and it you know, just because that connection didn't work out doesn't mean that same dream is not alive. Yeah. So I have a ton of tools. I've got land, you know.
You got a fucking big deal school bus out there.
Bus, I think it's awesome. You know, yeah, I've got potential. I've got everything just sitting here, and I'm just, you know, I don't know. I've just been waiting to figure out what I'm doing next. And I think at some point along the way, I lost sight of the end goal.
Yeah.
And focus too much on figuring out the next step and not enough on just bringing people in and seeing what happens and embracing the chaos a bit.
Yeah.
And so that's what I'm hoping to do now.
Yeah.
I've created accounts on Couchers and HelpX and Workaway, and we'll see what happens.
So if anyone listening to this, if they like the idea of what you're talking about, because you, I don't know, just like I'm trying to communicate it better, it's just like people can come here and kind of,
you like, could make, you could help out. There's a whole bunch of small carpentry and woodworking projects that need to be done. There's vehicles to fix, there's art to be made, but more than that, it's a space that my friends, that my housemates' friends, that others can come and just feel comfortable to explore, whether that's exploring what's in their head, what's in their hands, or what's around them. And the great thing about Vermont is everything that's around here to explore, the outdoors and the adventures.
Yeah. I mean, it's cold as fuck out there right now.
Right now, yes.
We're sitting here, it's January, whatever, but it's still cool to pop up to Burlington. But I can only imagine this summer, just like, getting out there, your land. I still haven't seen the land, the 50 acres, the cabin and stuff. Like, and just, I don't know, just popping around, hitchhiking out 30 miles is probably just so many hikes, so many,
you know,
peaks to get on top of, and just there, awesome shit.
There are those people who, believe it or not, really enjoy this time of year for the low friction gravity experiences.
Yep, there's that too. Would you say an hour away from all the major ski hills in the state?
Yes. I feel terrible saying that I have not ridden a snowboard in years.
Yeah.
But there is some epic skiing and riding in Vermont, that is for sure.
So if there's any travelers listening right now who want to like come in for a couple nights and meet you, or potentially a couple few weeks or more to work on a project or help out or do something? What's the best way to reach out, get in touch, set up that website?
I did.
Is that up?
It is. There's a website with not a lot of info right now. It's called Slice of Heaven. And that is sliceofheaven.us.
That is fucking awesome, actually.
You know, I needed a domain, and I was like, that looks good. I am by no means a web developer. You can see by the white background and, I think, pink text. I don't
know. Do you have an email address or a contact thing on there or something?
Is I have a contact form. Okay. It'll email me.
Sliceofheaven.us.
I can also be found on Couchers and Trustroots. And Workaway and HelpX, and you could always just drop by. If you're in central Vermont, just ask for a teal school bus. I am quite confident within three people, someone will be able to point you towards my house.
Yeah, so either that or the sliceheaven.us, one way or another. I'll be curious to see. Be like, the first person is just like, I heard it on the Freestyle Travel Show.
By all means.
And I'm fucking here.
That would be awesome.
Man. Let's do something fucking incredible. I mean, you really do have just like, you got a garden situation, you got 3D printers, you got land, you got a bus, you just got blank canvases and halfway finished canvases. It's like, there's something for everybody.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I have a lot of creative endeavors. I have a lot of interests. I love recycling and reusing scrap. So I've got a pile of scrap metal, an angle grinder, and a plasma cutter, and a welder. And it's fun to just make stuff.
Yeah.
yeah. And if people have ideas for projects, things they want to experiment with that, you know, might fit in with anything that I've done or been interested in, come. Send a message, bring the idea, and I'm probably down to experiment. I've been meaning to build a forge for a while.
Oh, nice.
I think blacksmithing is really awesome.
Yeah.
You know, I want to build an outdoor greenhouse and a real, you know, get really into producing food and just all sorts of stuff.
You want to build that sauna right here?
there will be a sauna here, although at the pace that I'm going, the sauna will be here just in time for the midsummer heat.
Perfect.
You know, that's how I roll.
Yep. There's a cat here. He just walked in.
There's definitely a cat here. There's a cat that rules the house.
Yes.
This is Yang.
Oh.
And Yang will sleep on you if you are asleep and inside the house.
It does happen. Well, I guess I'll leave it at that unless you got anything else you want to mention, story, something to say. Otherwise. No.
Thank you for having me on.
Yeah. Here comes the cat.
Oh, that's a cat. Right with
All right, sliceofheaven.us. Yeah, thanks for having me, and thanks for being on the show. Let's get crazy. All right.
All right, thank you very much.
Cheers.
All right, Departing the Body. That was the name of that Imperial Stout, Burn Brewers. All right, you guys. I'm glad you listened to Matt's story. Super cool. And definitely don't be shy. Hop on that website, sliceofheaven.us, or otherwise find a way to get in touch with Matt if you're tripping through Vermont. I know he'd love to have some more traveler energy coming through here, and you'll have a good time. Like I said, whether you stay for a night or two and just kick it, or decide you want to stay longer and do whatever. You can just... Unlimited opportunities here. That school bus is sick. He's got this teal school bus out in the front yard. Somebody should come and fix that up. Make some adventures. Good times all around. So let me catch you up on my travels. Because, this is the longest I've left y'all hanging for sure. 2 months without a podcast. The last episode, for those of you who listened, I was in California... for all intents and purposes, on a pot farm. just sounds a little extreme. This is the dude's house who grew a lot of pot. I was trimming weed, making a little cash, catching up with friends, having a good old fucking time, really. And, what did I do directly? The idea was to go see some family for Thanksgiving. But a buddy of mine, Christian, he's been on the podcast before. He's been wanting to start this YouTube channel, talking about spirituality and some other stuff, travels, I'm sure, whatnot. He wanted me to get involved somewhat, help out a little bit, and he's got a guy in Austin, Texas, who's helping him out. So he offered to fly me out to Austin, which also meant he had to fly me back sort of towards Wyoming if I wanted to do the Thanksgiving thing with fam. So I took him up on that. Sounded pretty cool. So that's what happened. I finished up trimming the weed in California and convinced some friends, which didn't take much convincing. They were stoked. They drove me down to Sacramento, just had like a day of brewery hopping and stuff like that. And they dropped me off at the airport, caught the flight out to Austin, caught up with Christian, learned more about his channel, which I don't even think is up yet, which is suspicious. God damn it, Christian. So, so, I mean, I should be like promoting his channel, but I don't even know what it is yet. But we'll see. So he was, yeah, we were working on that a little bit. He was showing me what he's doing, his new gear and stuff. But in the meantime, we were doing all the Austin things. Like, I'm not going to go to Austin and not get a badass brisket. Went to, I think it's called Terry Black's, place I've been to two or three times. Just fucking brisket off the chain, man. So goddamn good. Certain things make me so happy. Brisket in Austin, Hattie B's hot chicken in Nashville. Man, I'm still a sucker for Shake Shack. Certain things just get me excited, food-wise. That was one of them. Slam some food. Also met up with my buddy Kyle. I've known since beer camp. Hit a bunch of good breweries with him. Oh, there's Augustus Fried Chicken. Went kayaking. I was only in Austin for like 2 days or something. Maybe it was 3 or 4 days. I can't remember now. 2, 3, 4 days. But yeah, packed a lot in. Had a good old time. So that was good. And then, yeah, Christian got me to the airport. And he was going to continue doing his thing. But I got out and made my way towards Wyoming. Did the Thanksgiving thing just for a couple days. Caught up the family there. And my sister was moving to, and has now moved to Los Angeles. She lived there for a little while, going to school, trying to be an actress, so she's going to try to recapture that whole dream, which hopefully be a reality for her, or whatever she ends up doing. Want to do, I was going to help her move a U-Haul, and whatever, the U-Haul fell through. It's a boring story, but I still helped her anyways, just drive her Jeep down. And I jumped out in Vegas and start the longest Vegas stretch, I think, of my life. It's got to be, unless I'm missing something. It was insanity, y'all. So, part of the impetus for this Vegas trip was like, yes, it was convenient because I was helping my sister and Vegas was like the last thing on the way. But my buddy Walter was flying in from the Netherlands for an Amazon like tech conference and I get free rooms. So I was like, all right, I can, you know, make his trip basically free from a free room point of view and catch up with my goddamn buddy. It's fucking Walter. The guy's a legend. He was on the podcast too. I suggest going back and listening to that episode. Hitchhike with Walter. I met Walter in Alaska, volunteering for couchsurfing.com back when that website was legit. That's kind of trash. And we hitchhiked down to Vancouver together and formed a lifelong friendship. So yeah, of course I was stoked to see him. Of course I was going to come to Vegas. I got us a room at Harrah's and yeah, we just had an awesome time. So he was spending most of his days like at conferences and stuff, but like every other minute we were just catching up, drinking beers, eating food, having a good time. Having a great time. So, did that, and he had to fly back to the Netherlands, and I get all these free rooms, but for whatever reason, like, technicality-wise, Vegas, like, I can get, like, you know, like, 5-ish nights for free at a lot of the casinos on the Strip, but not, like, back-to-back. So, I could book 5 nights, and then I gotta wait, like, 48 or 72 hours before I can book some more rooms. But, in the same network, I can book rooms down in Laughlin, where I've never been. And if you've never heard of it, I'm not surprised. Laughlin is like, I'm sorry, Laughlin. It's kind of just a garbage border Nevada casino town. It's on the border of Arizona, basically California. And there's a few casinos there, but I've never really been. And now I know why. So I went there basically because it was an hour drive away. So I hitchhiked there. It took surprisingly long in the desert. Just no one was picking me up. I got a sunset ride, which, thank God, that would have sucked because it's still cold enough to suck in the desert. So I managed to hitchhike there, like, at the buzzer. Fucking Kobe, that shit. And, yeah, I had a free room there for 4 or 5 nights. Nothing to do in Laughlin. And I lost a bunch of money down there. Like, it was a disaster. Because I kind of, like, went way down in Vegas and kind of came back, but yeah, down in Laughlin, there's nothing, there's no people watching, it's just like some isolated casinos and no, there's nothing going on. It's kind of lame. But it was a free place to stay. I got some stuff done, like some writing and some other stuff done. The free rooms for me, it's just like different. Like, I know some of y'all listening are travelers, but a lot of y'all listening are like maybe not travelers, but like, you'll understand on different levels. Like, I've been living out of my backpack for over a decade, so do a lot of couch surfing. I stay with friends and family. It's like kind of rare to have privacy in a way. So like these free rooms in Vegas and in this case Laughlin, it's just like, I don't know, it's kind of different where I'm just like, I have this space to myself sometimes for days at a time. That's that's kind of worth it. So it's not always just about the casino or anything else. It's just kind of like that random, like, oh, wow. I just go to sleep, wake up when I want, and it's different. So there's that aspect of it. So I sort of embraced some of that, and it was a goofy time in Laughlin. Like, one funny story. I'd kind of just been going up and down like $100, and mind you, I just made a bunch of money trimming weed, which is like probably the worst decision. Just make my money for the year and then go directly to Nevada. That's smart. I'm gonna take a sip of beer, just thinking about my life choices. Hold on. So yeah, I've been going up and down, and lost a bunch of money, like over $1,000, just being stupid. And then I put $1,000 just betting on a freaking football game. One. Any football fans out there, it was at a Patriots-Bills game that was like super cold and real low scoring. Anyways, it was incredible. It's the most money I've ever bet or won on sports. It's just like, yeah, I bet $1,000. I won like $1,250 or something. It was insanity after like going down. Some woman won, and then later I'm playing roulette, still trying to catch up. Because I'd lost a little more than that. And some woman walks up to me, like, from the casino. And she's, like, asking me. She just sits down next to me in the middle of a spin. Like, the ball was rolling in roulette. And she's just like, hey, I just want to get your, like, driver's license number and your social security number. I'm like, what the f- What? And I was looking at her, and I talked her out of it. It was crazy. She's just like, I think it's just because like I'd like thrown around at that point technically over like a few $1,000s, and she's just like, yeah, if you something about like it wasn't bet $10,000 or something. It was like if you transact $10,000. I'm like, how much have I transacted? And it was way less than $10,000. So I was like, so why are you talking to me now? I was like, can we like go to a window? I'm like, you're just like walked up to me. You're like a random person. And yeah, I don't know. I just like freaked her out, and she went away. I felt like ice cold. I was like, oh shit. Like they came at me, and I was just like, no, go away. It's very bizarre. Yeah, after that point, I was all freaked out. I just chilled in my room for a couple days, just getting my own personal stuff done. No more gambling. Probably shouldn't have lost any more bet anymore. It's like they're on to me. trying to get personal information. It's crazy. Yeah, so I hitchhiked up to Vegas again, had free nights again, and I think I was staying at Caesar's Palace, and I got some free, what was it, like gift thing? It was like a Christmas gift thing. This is December at this point, mind you. And any of you guys who followed my travels probably remember like my earlier videos going to Vegas and getting all these like free rooms and stuff, but I didn't really understand how it worked. Now I kind of do, so maybe we'll take advantage of it more, just like the random arbitrary stuff. So it was like this Christmas gift giving thing, and I had like X amount of credit, and I went in there thinking I could get a bunch of stuff, but my credit, like, I don't know. It was only good enough for some sausage and some cheese. They're giving away like lawnmowers and tents and freaking stereos and all this fancy stuff. And I don't know. I figure they're giving me all these free rooms. Like I get like endless free rooms and stuff. Am I not a baller? No, I'm not. I'm on the very, very low end of what they do in Vegas for free, which is like a good sign for any of y'all listening. Like that's how easy it is to get free stuff in Vegas. Like I get this free stuff. And I'm at the bottom, apparently. So, got my free sausage, whatever, I'll take it. Ended up catching up with Christian. He'd driven his camper out from Austin by way of other places to Vegas. So, kicked it with him. And then we were going to go camp out in the desert. I'd like I said, I've got to wait in between like free rooms and stuff. So, we're going to go like camp out in the desert. And he ended up getting a free cabin in Big Bear, California. He just posted something online, sort of similar to what I'm doing now. Just like someone's just like, yeah, you can stay in my cabin. So we went down there just for a night. He got weird vibes. So we decided to bail out just after a night, but it was cool. But that's basically the only time I left Nevada was that night. Hit up a couple breweries, stayed in this cabin, and then boom, popped right back up to Vegas. We stayed at Ellis Island for a couple nights. I sweet-talked my way to a casino host there. Didn't even really gamble there. I just talked the talk. Like I said, I'm learning. And then five free nights at the Flamingo. Holy crap, y'all. Oh, I forgot how ridiculous this story gets. God damn it. Whatever. I'm already talking. Another sip of beer. So we're staying at the Flamingo. Another buddy of mine is in town, someone I was trimming weed with earlier in the year, poker player, cool shit. So, catching up with him, playing a little poker with him. I basically lost, at this point, quite a bit. I lost more money than I was prepared to lose. Really chipped away at all the money I'd earned trimming. So, more or less out of the game, but still found a way to, like, play a little poker. Meanwhile, Christian is just working all these girls, all these different angles. So I'm like, oh yeah, one night I lost more money I wasn't supposed to lose. I borrowed money from my buddy, and I was way up in poker, but I was just waiting for Christian to be done with the room with this girl, and just like, oh, that sucked. Because I was like doing pretty well in poker, and like it was like getting to be like 2 a.m., 3 a.m., and then finally, he's like, no, no, well, this is actually what happened. It was like 3 a.m., and I was up like a few hundred dollars or something playing poker, and then I went all in, and this dude fucking got me. He just got me. He got a little lucky, but whatever, it's poker. Got me. Lost everything. not everything in my life, but everything I'd been playing with for the last like 5 or 6 hours. And right as I lost a hand and stood up just defeated and just like, fuck, now it's 3 a.m. I don't even have this. Because I was basically sitting at the poker table just to kill time and wait for Christian to be done banging this girl or whatever. And I'm not joking. I fucking lost a hand. And I had enough time to think like, fuck, that sucks. I've been playing for hours. I was winning. And now I just lost everything. And now I gotta like, I got no more money to gamble with, really. I mean, I have money, but being smart for once. And now I got to kill time doing what? Right then, my phone buzzes and it's Christian. He's like, you can come back to the room now. I'm like, God damn it. If he had texted me like 3 minutes earlier, 5 minutes earlier, I wouldn't have played that hand. I would have won. Whatever. Gamblers. Bunch of shitty stories like that. So that went on for like 5 days, just going between poker and hanging out with Christian and rando gals running around, having fun with that. And yeah, then Christian took off. I went up to Wyoming because, like I said, basically a month went by. 3-4 weeks went by of just like all this Vegas nonsense. And it's Christmas. So I went up to Wyoming again, caught up with the fam. My brother flew in from New York. My sister came back up from LA. She flew in. And yeah, did the Christmas thing. Had a great time, of course. Family. Been seeing a lot of family this year. Between the wedding in Delaware and everything else. So that's been a pretty good year for that. And yeah, like I sort of mentioned in the intro, I got a little inspired. My mom just finished a book. If you want to look it up on Amazon, it's called Incurable. And she's been working on this novel for a long, long time. So it's a really big deal for her. And she just finished it, and she had like a physical copy of the book, and obviously excited about that. And that got me a little inspired. And there's a screenplay I've been thinking about, rocking around in my head. I've written down a little bit about it, but while I was there, it's like I actually got like some pages of a script done, and I was getting excited about it in the zone. So that's when I posted on online, just looking for a place where I could plop down and keep the momentum going. And like I said, Matt, who you just heard, offered up his place here in Vermont for me to chill. And I was like, all right, Vermont it is. And it's cold as fuck. It's January. So I'm like, okay, I could hitchhike to Vermont. It would take a week. And also, it's really cold. So, which I don't mind until it comes time to sleep, because I can walk. It can be as cold as whatever, and I'll walk and hitch. But once it's cold, if it's colder than like 20 degrees, like, not going to make it. So basically, it just made sense to fly, because I'm kind of a ninja with the flights. So what did I find? I found a flight to Vegas. Sorry, I'm taking another sip of beer. Oh, I'm not sure why I'm alive. Dude, the problem is Vegas is like, I don't know what they do. They subsidize flights or something. They make it so cheap to go there. So anyways, I found this flight to Vegas. Well, from Vegas. like Vegas to Orlando, and then Orlando to Burlington. All for less than $100. And the math sort of worked out money-wise, too, because I was like, if I'm hitchhiking and it takes me a week to get to Vermont, you know, one night where I get caught out just in the middle of nowhere, like, I might get suckered into a motel room or something, and then I'm basically spending the same $80-$90 anyways. So I'm like, at least this way I get there quicker. Yeah, so I wound up in Vegas again. So, yeah, I went from Wyoming to Vegas. I literally arrived in Vegas at midnight, New Year's Eve, 12:04. My feet are on the ground. I literally arrive in Vegas as all the fireworks are shooting off above all the hotels. It's pretty impressive, actually. It's pretty cool. Windy as hell that night. And I walk from the airport to the Strip. It takes about an hour. It's kind of obnoxious, the first part, to get out of the airport complex. But it's better than paying money to get back to the Strip. So, dude, and then it's on. And this 5 days is just kind of silly. Yeah, for sure. So I walk. Of course, I've got a free room somewhere. Where? I don't remember. Planet Hollywood, I think. Oh, but not that night. That night, I don't have a free room, but I figure I'd stay up all night, and I sure did. Then to drop my bag off, my buddy who I mentioned earlier, poker buddy from the weed farm, he's in town. He's with a friend. They're staying at Caesars. So I go over there. It's kind of, you know, I'm in touch with them, but I'm not. It's Vegas. I don't know. If y'all ever been to Vegas, you know how difficult it is to, like, rendezvous with people. So I'm at Caesars. I know he's kind of around. I'm like, all right, it's fucking New Year's Eve. I haven't had a drink yet. Let me sit down at a poker table and get a free drink. Craziness. So they took so long to get me drinks. By the time this girl brought me a drink at the poker table, I think I won like $800. I sat down with $200. And like, yeah, by the time she brought me the second drink, I think I walked away with like $1,100, like almost $900 profit. It's like I was trying to get a free drink and basically got paid $900 to get it. I'm like, all right, happy goddamn New Year. There we go. And then, yeah, and I caught up with my buddy and his friend and off to the races, man. It was just nuts. That was a crazy 5-day stretch. Just, yeah. They got habits. So we're running up to the room, their room in Caesars, chilling there for like 10 minutes, rejuvenating, I'll say. And then going back down. That night, we had met some, like, well, we didn't meet her, but we had had like a brief interaction in the elevator with this really pretty kind of redheaded girl. Really brief interaction. And then later I'd clocked her in the poker room because there was three of us, me and my buddy and his buddy. We were all at different tables. It's kind of nice. It's kind of weird being at the same table as your buddy. Poker, you know, end up taking each other's money. I noticed that girl came in and sat at his table. They end up hitting it off. God damn. We're all running around, and this girl is a maniac. Just, yeah, just real dramatic. She got booted from the poker room, basically. Yeah, so she was in the mix. That was crazy. And at a certain point, I realized, like, goddamn, I've been awake for like 40 hours. I should probably sleep. So I left them to their devices. His buddy went and hit the poker room again. Passed out for a while, and then, yeah, the 5 days was just, like, kind of nuts. just kind of went on. I ended up having a big sleep sesh, which was good, but then I met up with those guys again, and I had the longest poker session I've had in my life. I sat at the poker table for 32 hours or something like that, only getting up to go to the bathroom and rejuvenate up in their room for like 10 minutes at a time a few times. And that was 32 hours, man. I remember getting, finally, when I left the poker table, and I lost in the end too. I mean, up down whatever. I remember just like hazily walking out of Caesars and back to Planet Hollywood. That's where I was. And just looking at the clock, and it said nine something. But it was, and I couldn't tell you if it was AM or PM. And I was looking at the side, outside, and even right now, I can't remember if it was light or dark, but whatever it was confused me. Because it was either 9 AM, and I'm like, why is it dark? Or it's 9 PM, and I'm like, why is it light? Oh my God. Just disorienting. I'm an animal. Oh, it's ridiculous. I'm gonna take another sip of beer. But yeah, I got it all together. My buddy left town, and luckily the very last night ended up hanging out with my buddy's buddy. And then we were at the bar in the Flamingo, and I met some girl and stayed up a real long time with her. By the time that was over, it was like daylight, and I had the flight to Vermont. Well, sorry, the flight to Orlando, which would then get me a flight to Vermont, because if you really want cheap flights, sometimes you gotta put up with some inconveniences. So whatever, it was like 5, 6, 7 a.m. My flight's at like 4 p.m. or something like that. So, yeah, I just played blackjack until I had to go to the airport. I didn't even go up to my room until I needed to. Basically won a lot of the money back that I'd lost playing poker and stuff. So that was good. That was great, actually. I mean, it was stupid. Went way, way down. And then somehow turned like, I think the lowest I was at was like $40. And then, can you believe I, dude, just thinking about it is nuts. Turned $40 into $1,500. just being stupid. Just being stupid. It can happen. Can happen the other way. A lot of times too. So, yeah, I came back and, yes, got an Irish coffee to go. Takes about an hour to walk to the airport. I nursed that Irish coffee all the way to the airport. Just hazy, out of control. And, yeah, flew to Orlando. I had a long-ass, like a day-long layover, basically, in the Orlando airport. Sleeping on the floors, all that kind of thing. And, yeah, caught that flight to Burlington. Matt picked me up at the airport. It's about an hour away from his place here in more central Vermont. And here's where I've been. That was it. That was a stupid Vegas story. Ah, that was ridiculous. Just like reflecting on it myself as I tell it. So silly. But yeah, I've been pretty productive since I've been here. Getting the screenplay done. You know, like you've heard, Matt's pretty cool. So been hanging out with him, his roommates, cool shit as well. So I've been doing some hanging out with them, but mostly just concentrating on the screenplay. And I guess I got to tell you a little bit about it. I just don't want to say too much because it's a long process and I don't know, don't want to get y'all's hopes up or anything. It's about travel. I'll just say that. It's a show/movie. It's about different kinds of travelers and a particular story. So I'm still working on it. And I've made a ton of progress, which is great. And yeah, I'm not sure exactly what the next step is. Either sell it or make it myself, but just getting ahead of myself. Speaking of projects, just to change the subject from that, I'm sure some of you wondering about Hopping, the Backpacking Beer Adventure, the show that I filmed back in July. So I might as well give you an update about that too while I'm at it. Yeah, I really did think I was going to start putting out episodes back in like September, October, but my editor's been, I guess, pretty busy with other stuff, but I am happy to report that about a week or so ago, he sent me the rough cut of episode 1, which I've been waiting for a long, long time. So I'm super stoked that there seems to be some progress there, and I really don't want to jump the gun. I'm really hoping hoping to see a little more progress, but I think there is a possibility that you can start seeing episodes next month. We'll see. I'm just waiting for a cut of the second episode and just make sure that the momentum's all there and he's rolling with it. But I think we can safely say that yeah, Hopping season 2 next month or early March would be the latest. Anything later than that, and damn, I don't know what's going on. But I'm really, really excited. Like I said, I thought I was gonna get those episodes out to y'all sooner, but it's looking good. What he showed me was looking pretty good. So super stoked about that. And yeah, so that puts me here right now. I'm gonna be hanging out here in Vermont for another week about. Then I'm rolling down to New York City, and then I'm going to Vegas. Oh, man. I am going back to Vegas. So I'm not going to go on another crazy run, I don't think. They're just offering me so much free stuff there. It's like the more time I spend there, the more free junk they give me. So hear me out. I got a couple reasons. So A, there's a flight from New York to Vegas for $46 or something like that. So, okay. Still got my weed money. I can do that. But the main thing is they're giving me a free cruise, I think. Hopefully there's no strings attached. But it sounds like, yeah, they said if I come there for 5 days and stay for free in Vegas, they'll give me a free 7-day cruise to like the Caribbean or Bermuda or something. So, like, all right, that's kind of different. Could be cool. Check some stuff out. Part of me is just like, let me take the Caribbean thing and just sort of like get out in Mexico or like, I don't know, just abandon ship and start hitchhiking from there. I don't know. It's tempting. But also, I want to see my buddy in Phoenix. Kind of think maybe LA could be a place to go now that I got that screenplay rolling. So that's my thoughts. That's my rationale. I'm also trying to convince my buddy in New York, childhood friend, to actually leave the city for a minute, go to Vegas. He's never been. So, yeah, that's what's next, I do believe. So, yeah, there you go, guys. It was a big rambling Vegas rant. And I'm stoked. I'm stoked for the screenplay. I am always excited to go to New York. I'll be there for like a day, maybe 3 or 4. Get my kicks. And then, take another run in Vegas. And hopefully not lose my ass. Hopefully get a free cruise. And, yeah, see what that's all about. I don't know. I'm not sure if cruises suck or not, but why not, you know? Especially if I can just, like, hop out in Mexico or somewhere. It's kind of tempting. Yeah, happy days. I'll leave y'all with that. It was an adventure. It was a podcast, right? 2 months? Now we're done. It won't be 2 months till next one. Ooh, might have a good podcast coming up in just, like, a week or two. Should I tease you with it? I don't know. I'm not sure it's going to happen or not. We'll see. There might be a really good one coming up in like just about a week. Yeah, we'll see. I think so, though. All right. Anyways, good times. I'll let you guys go. Keep drinking your beers. I'm going to finish this sour IPA. Happy days. Had by all. All right. Freestyle travel. I will see you down the road. To hell with plans I made. I need a new escape. With all my shit straight, I'll get my big break.